feel about releasing poo holes. Kind of like took them long enough.
Should have happened a couple years ago.
That said, like, the final year of a 10-year deal is when you finally do it. It's like, that's, you couldn't just like wait it out.
Well, I think the thing is he's, well, he's bad, right?
Yes, yes.
Of course.
Without question.
But there is no other like big historical target he can hit this year.
Right.
So why keep, you know, just why keep him?
Well, no, you keep him to like, and by the way, like just keep him on the bench, like keep him at the end of the bench, whatever. You know, releasing him is not going to save you that much money. I mean, it's baseball, so it's all monopoly money anyways. Like, just let him sit out the rest of the season on the bench. The last week, you know, Angels aren't going to be in anything anyways. Just let him have his swan song and then ride off into the sunset.
I mean, I would guess he was appraised of the potential decision and was okay with it.
And I'm sure he'd come to terms with the fact that he's bad.
Yeah. I bet you he goes to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And retires. Whether that's a whole season or just like a week long thing, and he gets up there for one at bat and
yep,
waves the helmet, hits the helmet with the cleats, gives everyone a thing, and then strikes out on five pitches.
Could you see the Yankees signing him before the postseason?
No.
Barring injuries. They got to have like 2-3 guys go down.
He might be a good guy to have in the postseason as just like a pinch hitter, you know, a Hall of Famer you bring in who might have a chance to hit a home run. You never know.
Very situational pinch hitter.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's not going to be playing in the field, but like late innings, you need someone to rock a bomb. Bring him in. Because the Yankees don't have enough of those guys.
Speaking of that, did you see the tweet today from a Texas Longhorns writer about the throw that Judge made yesterday?
I didn't see the throw.
I saw the throw. I think I saw the tweet you're talking about.
She called it a terrible throw and unremarkable and not worthy of being a highlight on SportsCenter. Because he short hopped the throw to second to throw a guy out. Let me see.
I mean, I agree that it's unremarkable. It's pretty, it was a pretty standard throw. But it wasn't like bad by any means from kind of what she was implying. Because that's what you're taught to do is to one hop
that's
it in
the
there
point.
to the fielder.
No, but she was positioning it like he just has a bad arm and that's why he was short hopped.
I saw Johnny Damon out there spiking balls.
Which is funny is because when you dig deeper, she's a Red Sox fan. So with the Johnny Damon reference there is very well. And she got ratioed to absolute hell. Like she dropped that tweet at like 8:30 on the West Coast. And by like 9 o'clock, it was something like 4 likes, 472 mentions, and 4,000 quote tweets.
Did she leave it up?
Oh, she left it up. Yeah, she left it up.
I'm just not able to find the highlight at all. I'm trying really hard.
I mean, like I said, it's an unremarkable play. The ball's hit in the corner. He digs it out of the corner, just kind of grabs it and throws a little one hop in a second. They tag the guy out.
I mean, when you say it's unremarkable, you're also the guy who says you could take Justin Verlander yard, 4 straight at bats. So your standard is pretty high.
Oh, I'm lighting up Verlander for sure.
You're hitting Pedro Martinez in his prime. Doubles just right off the wall. I know. We get you.
Pedro not getting that splitty on me or that change piece.
Yeah.
But mostly by unremarkable, as in that's a standard big league play. You know, 8 out of 10 guys make that same exact play in that situation. There's a handful of guys that just can't field a ball and another guy that can't really throw a ball. But that play is made 80% of the time.
Who was the was it Cespedes for the A's who used to
get a hose?
Yeah, he would never be able to field the ball. That's why he had to throw out so many guys, is because he literally couldn't play the field. Like, he'd boot something, then go pick it up, and then hose the guy at home. And the guy never should have even been close to scoring.
It's on that
he was great at that
Jim Edmond, that Jim Edmond style of fielding, to where you read a ball so bad that you have to lay out to make the diving catch.
That's what I did. My year at JV baseball at South, I was great at that. I would like step the wrong direction when the ball's hit and then sprint really fast and then go dive and catch it. And everybody would be like, "Oh, what a diving catch." Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm great.
It's a great diving catch.
Yeah, it was a great diving catch. Kick on a can of corn.
Where you could just camp.
What is going on? What is happening right now?
That's a good question.
So for the listener, King just walked away from the computer and all of a sudden there's some random noises in the background. What the hell just happened?
I don't know. What did just happen?
Oh, nothing, I guess. Nothing, I guess.
Well, I think we're remiss. I think we're what's the date today?
It is
that's a good question.
May 6th.
What happens on May 6th?
People are usually hungover.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Happy birthday, Ski.
Happy birthday, Ski.
Happy birthday.
So that's what you're up to.
That's it was being a little wonky. It wasn't working.
Yeah, we could not hear that at all. Yeah, oh, I get it. You're trying to get it to play, then you walked away to get it to play, then you came back. All right, very effective.
This is a visual or a audible medium, so you don't have to give away the visual cues, you guys.
Well, that's way too late for that. You were gone for a little bit though, so we're a little
like
bit
7 seconds.
Yeah. Well, you were gone, yeah. And then we could hear like yelling in like a really low volume. So we thought oh shit, is King having a domestic dispute right now? Like, are we gonna have to call the cops? Are the cops gonna be called? Are we going to be like witnesses because we're overhearing everything right now? And then are all of our 14 listeners then going to be witnesses? Because I definitely wouldn't cut it out. I would like post it and they would all get to listen to it. So that's what was going on.
Cut that out.
I might. I don't know. It depends. If the police if the police ask for it, I guess I probably have to give it to them. But
I don't know why we're making domestic violence jokes, but that's just me.
That's kind of our shtick, isn't it?
No, that's not my shtick. That could be your guys' island. Right. That could be your island.
We'll leave the racist comments to you. We'll take the abuse.
Yes, you will. Yes.
Yeah, you can have the racism. We'll take the violence against. Anyway, let's smoothly transition to the Oregon spring game. Why don't we? So, Ty Thompson, am I right?
That's speaking of abuse. Ooh, man.
Okay, serious thoughts about the spring game, though. I think a lot of people were kind of watching it and saying the freshmen were amazing, and I didn't really see that. I saw every quarterback being pretty equal. I think Brown looked better, if I'm being completely honest, than the other three. You can see the freshmen clearly have like better physical tools than Brown, and it's not really close. But Brown, in terms of being a quarterback of a team who's trying to win games, I think is the better option right now. Like, you know, that could change in the fall. It probably will change in the fall or by the fall, I guess. But I don't know. Like, I thought there were good things that all of the quarterbacks showed, and Brown didn't really show any bad things. So
I couldn't tell if it was the quarterback's looking good and the receiver's looking real good, or if it was the secondary was almost all walk-ons is the other thing. It was a tough one to kind of discern which was the leading factor to the receivers making a lot of plays.
Because the receivers were making plays. Like, they were making really nice catches. They were also getting behind every single corner they were going against. Didn't matter, first string, second string, third string. Like, they were getting run by pretty much every single time. Like, by the way, the last touchdown that Ashford threw, like, at the end, like, receiver runs straight. Clearly, there was something amiss where the corner, for some reason, thought there was a zone happening, which, if you're up by a touchdown with a minute left, you don't really play zone like that. You play man to man, then have safety help. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of how it works. And so receiver just runs defense by him.
The same defense at the end of the Auburn game.
Yeah. Well, what did you say, King? And by the way, like, you mentioned this on Twitter, and that was the first time I'd ever heard it. Like
because it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a big deal at the time, and it isn't a big deal now. But after they lost to Auburn, he basically apologized to Verone McKinley. First thing, he audibled out of the call, and he should have just stayed with the call where Verone is on an island and he is dropping in his zone, but he kind of called it off, kept Verone on an island. I don't think he blitzed, but he came forward on like a tight end or guard against the slant. Basically, because of all game, Bo Nix sucked. He didn't expect him to throw a 40-yard scramble touchdown. And he apologized for it. And, you know,
I like it.
Stand up move.
I like it because we were all sort of pissed. Well, pissed might not be the right word, but like confused about why Verone McKinley was left on an island late in the football.
As a true freshman.
It didn't really make any sense.
In his first college game. Didn't make any sense.
Exactly. So but I guess that's the first time I'd ever heard that Holland like audibled out of that.
Well, because it just wasn't – it didn't get a lot of pub at the time.
It should have.
Because it should have. But it just kind of didn't. It just slid underneath the radar a little bit.
Interesting.
It was just him owning up to it, you know, as a leader.
I like it.
For him.
I like it.
But when you say – boy, I remember when that play happened. I was at the coast at the time. I was not pleased.
Yeah.
Well, from just watching on TV, it's the – what the fuck are you doing? Why that play should never happen.
Never.
And that no.
Just the amount of dumb bullshit that led to Oregon losing to Auburn in that game. Like none of the receivers being healthy. Like that play at the end. Like making that quarterback look good is just inexcusable. Like it's one of those weird things where you know 100% that the team that is on the field is better than the other team that's on the field, and yet they end up losing anyways. And it's just, as a fan of that team, it's frustrating as shit.
Yeah, that was a frustrating loss.
Is sure. Is Bo Nix still the QB at Auburn, or did he out? I can't.
No, he's still there.
It's someone leapfrog him, maybe.
I don't know, but I do know there's the quarterback at Liberty University. I don't know his name, but I think it was Bruce Feldman. I think I was listening to a podcast. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks, like last week, and apparently the new quarterback at Liberty is already like a first round like prospect, even though he's never played. And he couldn't beat out Bo Nix. and he basically was like, "Yeah, Bo Nix is a legacy. Why would they play me?"
Is that like
he's bad? Because he's good.
Is that like Justin Fields not being able to be the starter at Georgia, and then transferring to Ohio State and leading them to Natty and being a top 15 pick?
Oh, and that's funny. On that same podcast, they were talking about that situation and how people at Georgia were like, we're going to start Fromm because, you know, he made the national title game. You know, he's experienced.
Yeah.
But at the time, these mock drafts were having going in the top 10. And they were like, yo.
No way.
The Georgia coaches were telling him on the back, no, he's not. No, he is. Fromm is not that guy.
Yeah. Well, there's the different program. You know, Saban's like, oh, Jalen Hurts. Sorry, I got this kid Tua. You're not playing anymore. I don't.
That's how it's got to be.
That's just how
it's
is.
Got to be.
Major college football. That's why you win national championships. Yeah. Or compete for them every year. See, like he had a lot of Nate Costa in him.
Yeah.
Rom did.
Yeah.
To kind of backtrack a little, of the four quarterbacks that played, who do you think had the best physical, like, just you're like, oh, that guy just, this looks different than the other guys. Was there any?
Ashford.
Me too, and you want to know what? He's clearly QB4.
Yeah, without question. Yeah.
But his arm is wild. Wildly electric.
So right now, if you're asking me right now, I want Ashford to be QB2. If you're asking me right now, I want him over Ty Thompson. I want him over what's his face. Yeah, I can't even remember his
Jay
name.
Butterfield.
Jay Butterfield. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, I will say out of the four, Ty Thompson was kind of clearly my number four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Even though
Butterfield there. I just...
Yeah. Butterfield.
No, because Butterfield. Butterfield showed me that annoying college quarterback, that Jake Fromm shit, where you can be like, you want to know what? Nothing about him looks sexy.
Yeah.
But he did just complete all four of those passes. Now, in a year, do I think that competition would look the same between the two? No. But Ty Thompson should be in high school. So.
Well, Thompson had what a lot of young kids do is kind of like antsy in the pocket. And kind of like Masoli, where you try to throw it real hard when you don't have to, which is something you'll just, I mean, he's been there, what, 2-3 weeks?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I thought him physically, I thought he showed the most promise, at least.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I think Ashford by but they're all, far is the most exciting.
I think so too.
Him run. You guys just see him run.
No,
like,
it's not.
No, he can just spin that, it, no. Man.
Yeah, he really
he can.
Spin
it.
Got that baseball arm.
I believe all the people who actually cover the stuff, and granted, they can't see much. Well, they can't see anything.
Yeah.
But they say he's like a clear project. I believe that. I can believe that. But he does spin that. He spins the rock, man.
He really does.
Except I feel like you guys are going to get stuck where he's not going to play for 4 years.
Yes, exactly.
He's just never going to crack it.
I think in a year, this conversation that not just we're having, but I saw it online, saw it at work, it's just going to go away because we're going to realize, oh, yeah, Robbie Ashford's real good at baseball.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's going to get drafted in like the fifth round.
Oh, we can hit pretty well. He can run amazing, and he can just – that Aaron Judge throw that people were ripping
he can feel,
on,
dog.
He's going to hit that – not going to short – going to hit that right on the glove.
Zing. Well, we're not going to be talking about this in a couple of years because at least two of those guys is going to be gone, like at least. So, like, Ashford very well could be just because he wants to focus on baseball. Probably not, though. I mean, you might as well just – stay playing football if you're going to be a backup. But if we're talking about him as a possible like actual prospect, then focus on baseball. It's no
was
brainer.
He drafted? Was he drafted?
He must have been.
Ashford?
He must have been. I don't know. Good question.
I think he was. Yeah.
But then, you know, see, Thompson makes me nervous because being the highest
up on old Ty?
Well, like being the highest rated quarterback in Oregon history, like the first five-star quarterback Oregon's had, it makes me nervous because there's a whole bunch of expectations there, and him actually, like watching him, you know, last weekend, it's like, boy, he is clearly still a child. Like, you know, like physically he's big, he's got a strong arm, he's fast, like whatever, but he is clearly like a ways away from, you know, I feel being good enough to start for the Oregon football team. And now the question is, because Brown's a, like sixth year senior or whatever, so he's going to be gone after this year. Is he going to develop?
He was Matt Ryan's backup.
Yeah, right? Is he going to develop? Yeah. Is he going to develop
enough? He battled Doug Flutie for that starting spot.
All right, name another Boston College quarterback.
Phil Dracovic. Jerkin for Dracovic.
You just made that up.
No, not he's a quarterback.
That's not a
now.
Real person. No, it isn't. Yeah. I don't believe you.
I remember tweeting out Jerkin for Dracovic when they were up like 7-0 on Clemson this year.
Oh my God. So now the question is, like, in a year, is he actually going to develop the things that he needs to develop to be a 5-star quarterback for a major college football team? Because we've seen how it works at other schools. Like Alabama brings in a 5-star quarterback, you get Tua, and Tua turns into a top 5 pick, you know? And so is Ty Thompson going to be able to do that at Oregon? I don't know. It makes me nervous.
Well,
I sort of feel like we're destined because it's just the era we're in. The transfer portal is a thing. It just is what it is. I feel like we're destined to 3 years down the road, suffer a really just another gut punching loss in Tempe as Ty Thompson leads a late November upset by the Sun Devils over Oregon. It just, he'll be like, you know what? I don't want to stay here. You know, I should have been a starter. I'm a 5-star, so I'm out.
For Ashford, Ashford is from Alabama. And so Ashford ends up being the one to transfer. He just goes to Alabama. He's like, yeah, I'll play some baseball. Also, I'll just be a backup. And then he ends up beating out their starter and then leads Alabama to a national championship.
I mean, my phone could lead Alabama to a national championship.
Exactly. No, like for real though, like with all the weapons that Alabama constantly has, like imagine that arm, those legs in that offense. I'm just saying. Be nasty.
I did look up them. Ashford was not drafted.
Oh,
because it was the COVID draft. There was only 5 rounds.
Wow. Oh, that's right.
But he was a top 150 prospect going into the draft. So,
yeah.
5 rounds instead of the usual like 38 that they have.
400.
Why? By the way, why?
I think that's why Major League nuked like 50% of the minors.
Oh, that's why.
So you can just stop that charade.
We're
paying all these guys for nothing.
They had to fill out those teams, so you needed to draft a shit ton of guys.
Yeah,
that's why. Okay, that makes sense. There you go. All
right. Did on defense though? Who stood out on defense in the spring game to you?
The linebackers.
How long did it take you to get an erection watching Sewell and Flo play next to each other?
The whole time I watched Kayvon, Sewell, and Flo together, it was just a Ric Flair gif the whole time. Just, whoa! Or just, I mean, that trio is an Alabama trio. That trio is a Clemson trio. Trio is an Ohio State trio, and we got them.
I'm going to overlay some porn music over this entire segment of us talking about the linebackers.
I mean, I was pitching Thibodeau, it during the spring game.
Thibodeau technically a linebacker, too, so we're talking about like 3 5-star linebackers.
I was pitching it during the spring game that once name, image, likeness becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Flo should just start an OnlyFans where he just flexes his thighs. That's holy mother of God, that guy could squat an elephant. I'm positive.
And by the way, like the way he plays, even though he's going against his own teammates, he's an insane person.
Was that Brown?
He wanted to murder. If that was a game, Anthony Brown is out for the year with internal bleeding. Oh, and that was the funny thing. He knows the rules, so he doesn't hit him, right? Yeah. But you also know the rule that you can't, in a spring game or practice, you can't hit a quarterback's arm when it's cocked back. And he didn't, but he karate chopped like he was Splinter Man. He wanted to just detach that arm and send it right back to Boston. Just get it out of here.
He chops the arm. He chops the arm, but it accidentally like goes through his arm, and so it just falls off his body.
I was laughing at some of his plays, especially that one, because I once it happened, it's a spring game, so who cares? You know, I'm rewinding, and you just hit it frame by frame.
Oh boy.
And Anthony Brown is taking a step and a half back, and you just don't see him flow in the picture. And by step two, you see him cutting through. And by step three, you see the running back who's supposed to block and be like, nope.
Run away.
This decision.
Spring game.
Nope.
Spring game. And
what do you yell? If you're like a left tackle who gets beat, don't you yell like fire, fire, fire?
Yes.
Fire! Run away!
Those three are going to be just
so. There was that play, and then I think it was either a dump off to a running back in the flat, and Sewell made this whatever his route to get to him was so fast and crisp that he beat the blocker where the blocker should have been already.
One of the play I noticed that Sewell did was like a swing pass to Dye, and Dye had the corner. And so, but then he saw Sewell coming up and is like, I can't actually outrun Sewell. And so he did like the stutter step thing, like he was going to juke him, and then immediately went out of bounds because he's like, I can't do that to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to hit me really hard, and I don't want to get hit really hard. So I'll just be over here. Nice to see you.
So,
and
if
and
the scary
we're
things,
with, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the scary things, if those two like learn how to be linebackers and not just be freak athletes, that's when things are going to get real scary out there. Know what they're doing.
You're not going to be able to run against Morgan.
Sewell looks.
I think Sewell's there. Close enough. I don't think Flo is, but if he.
But the thing is, we were trying to play two of those guys at the start of last year.
Right.
Now if it's just one, it's like, all right, he's going to make a ridiculous play, a handful of times a game. Yeah. And Sewell will be there to clean up his mistakes, essentially.
Flo is going to make like one or two plays every game that is just like
flash.
You haven't really seen it here before. Like, he's going to make a couple of those plays where he decapitates a wide receiver coming over the middle or something like that. And by the way, that kind of shit, it affects future stuff. It affects the way teams attack the Ducks. And so I'm looking forward to them. Like, was it BYU to open? Did they open against
Fresno?
BYU? Fresno. That's it. Yeah. Same thing. I cannot wait until they play Fresno. I'm literally just for them. Like, honestly, I can give a shit about the rest of it. Like them and Thibodeau. I can't wait. I really can't. I get so excited by defense, and Oregon really hasn't had, and they've had like good secondaries in the past, but like
they have good front too.
Yeah, they have. But this level of play from linebacker
always been the weakness. They've always been some like steady guys and like an oddity like Kiko and like, but
Kiko and Clay, that was a good
crew. Yeah, but to have a full crew of legit linebackers that we haven't seen.
Like, that's the thing about Troy Dye is,
yeah,
he was really good. You saw that last year because they didn't have a linebacker to tell people, no, this is where you go.
Yeah.
But, like, physically, he didn't flash or intimidate.
He was just steady. He was just steady.
And he was smart. He just knew where to be.
Fast and smart.
But those two look definitively different.
And they seem like Polamalu types where they're, at least last year, they're just going on pure instinct, but they're so freakishly athletic that they get the job done, even if they're out of position.
And I was watching the Pac-12 network late Saturday night, and they were doing just recaps of all the spring games, and it was a pregame thing. It wasn't even the game.
Just such a hilarious thing to do, by the way. Recaps.
It was just a... Right, I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, Jimmy Lake returned to kickoff. Yeah.
I mean, we're doing it, so whatever.
But it was just a pregame thing where they're walking into the Hatfield Dowling, whatever it's called, right? and it was Kayvon, Flo, Sewell, Wright, and Manning. And they were like five stars. And you can pick that apart by different recruiting ranking services, right? Sure. They're all different. But I was like, just the fact that it's a possibility that Oregon on the first snap of the season could have five-star defenders on defense.
Yeah, where are we right now?
That's crazy. Like, yeah. And I love that we're recruiting mass five stars on defense after being an offensive team forever when defense no longer wins games in college football. It's just funny.
We're recruiting defense and wide receivers. It's like, where the fuck did this come from?
I know, right. Yeah, that five-star Troy Franklin would have been nice in the Chip Kelly era. Yeah. I bet you Marcus would have liked a five-star receiver.
Now we're running out like guys in wheelchairs as running backs, but we got these 6'5" receivers. Exactly. It's like
I was gonna say we finally don't have a good running back.
I will say that little walk on guy that got like 18 or 20 rushes. That dude's no, I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he was fucking jacked though.
Yeah,
For a walk on, he does lift weights. That is for sure.
I do love.
He looked the part, at least physically, like strength wise.
Just slow, though. That's why he doesn't play. Yeah. I love Oregon spring game running backs, because who was the fool like Rosenberry or something like a few years ago who ended up running for 100 yards in the spring game just because they don't want to actually play the starters. And the starters, like, that's probably the least exciting position on Oregon.
It's so bad.
The
commentary during the game. I would have been.
Please don't bring that up. Ugh.
Well, okay. Well, no, that's not where I'm getting at. Sewell, Jordan Kent. It is Sewell, not Sewell. But they kept. These are two Oregon guys. Kent and Alioti are Oregon guys, and they keep hammering home the fact that CJ Burdell is so fragile. They don't want to run him in the spring. And I'm like, you're killing. Not that he has much draft stock.
Yeah, beyond brand.
The 14th time you've mentioned he's fragile, so they don't want to give him run. It's like, oh my God, Nick, Jordan, shut up. I feel bad for his family, and I don't even like him as a player.
Yeah,
you can't give the ball to CJ Vertel.
He literally, like, they're Oregon guys. Come on.
They're just crushing Stanley's ability to stay healthy. Well, you know, there was that turf toe from that blade of grass at Stanford 2 years ago. Okay. They're treating him like China. Jordan, shut up. God.
I do love that picture you posted of the pregame. What is it? The pregame like shot they have where they're coming
shot
to the drone shot coming down in the stadium from like 2008 before there were even drones. They got the drone shot from 2008. The soccer field wasn't there. Like
I didn't notice it at first.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners, WCP541, sent it to me.
What's up?
And so I'm laughing about it. And I'm like, wow, yeah, there's not the lacrosse stadium.
Was the baseball field there?
Yes, yeah. The baseball field was there. But there wasn't the lacrosse stadium. There wasn't the new scoreboard.
I think it was like there two scoreboards ago.
Yes, it was so bad. The HDC wasn't there.
Yeah.
Even on the Cav Center, there wasn't the wings on the roof, which is totally stupid. I don't know why they did that, but besides the point, it wasn't there either. I'm like, what year was this from?
I know.
From the Pilates era?
Get one from last year? You guys aired the game.
Pac-12 network?
Well, obviously not last year. You know what I mean. 2 years ago, but still.
I'm pretty sure I saw an interlocking O in the end zone. That's how old that shot was.
The scary thing is give me one of those running backs at their current age now, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Give me like 43-year-old Ruben Drones.
Yes, please.
And we're winning the title.
Yeah.
break Herman Hoching out of jail.
Oh yeah,
get us a fucking running back. Let's go. Come on.
We have had the offer. We have had the offer, by the way, from Kurt to reach out to Herman Hoching if we ever want to actually talk to him.
God, no. that's too. I just imagine he's so intense. I can't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He just seems like an intense man.
It's like Never Meet Your Heroes. Like, I don't want to ruin the image I have of Herman Hoching in my head by talking to him.
Pretty much him and Cliff Harris. You don't want to talk to just.
Oh boy.
I think Cliff kind of ruined that for himself.
Yeah. Herman just, he just seems.
By the way, both of these guys taken down by marijuana. It's fucking.
Who knew?
Who knew? Right?
God. Who knew?
Do you imagine? Okay, so anything else we want to talk about with the spring game?
Troy Franklin looked good.
He did. Receivers looked good.
Yeah.
But again, like Steve said, they were running by.
How many DBs were we missing? Four.
Yeah.
I was more impressed with. I'm not sure they're gonna be good enough, but those freshman tight ends.
Yes, thank you for bringing.
They looked the part. Yes, all the tight ends all looked the part.
God.
Yeah.
And that's three just good what tight infuriates ends. Me is you're getting these big players at position, you know, spots, but you can't get one running back.
Convert
one of these tight ends to a running back.
Who's the running back coach? Is it Mastro?
Yeah.
Fire him.
He should be fired.
You're a top five recruiting team in the nation, and all your running backs stink.
You get NFL offensive linemen and you can't get a running back to run behind them. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want to come to Oregon? Like, look at Oregon over the last like 30 years. You want to come here, run for 1500 yards. Like, you will do that. Like the offense,
we're good.
I don't know if you know this, despite all the 5-star wide receivers, the offense likes to run the ball a whole bunch. So you want to run for a whole bunch of yards and go to the NFL and probably, you know, fizzle out after a year or two. Come to Oregon. Let's go.
How does Mario let it happen? His whole thing is he wants to run the football.
Because he loves the pistol. He's married to the pistol. He's a Second Amendment guy.
There you go.
Second Amendment Mario. The Amendment Amendment is Mario.
That's a great joke, dude. Like, please continue to use that.
I'll work that in from
here.
That's
really good. Second Amendment Mario is brilliant.
I mean, you could say that a lot of CJ Verdell's like highlights are just concealed carries because they're not that exciting.
Oh God, I was trying to work a die one in there.
No, we don't need to go there.
No. All right. Oh my God,
that's too much.
I have been defeated. Holy shit. okay, so we like all of the position players other than the running backs in Oregon. We like the linebackers. We like the D-line because it has O-line? Thibodeau.
Yeah.
O-line.
I like Dorless.
Dorless.
Yeah. Dorless looks good, yep. DBs, O-line, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Even considering there was no one there, Manning's one that had the interception too, wasn't he?
Yeah, on a pass by Pittman.
It was
a Pittman pass, but still.
Boy, Pittman had a
yikes
woof of a game.
He looks like the seventh best receiver on the team.
Hey, once you become a YouTuber, your skills kind of diminish.
He came out and took the heat on those drops, though. At least
he did. He did. So,
I mean, good for him. Just don't drop them.
Yes, he apologized on his vlog.
Yeah, that'd be nice, too. Don't drop them.
Yes, he told Addison Rae, I'm very sorry. And then hit the dab.
Yeah, you must have had how fucked up were your mentions when you went in after fucking J-Hop.
Oh, man. The Hopkins Hive was alive!
You had to get in after it?
Yeah, it was so funny. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it was fucked how it turned into a bunch of people going after Preem for some reason. It's like,
so stupid.
What is going on here?
Because I mean, I'm assuming you guys didn't quite pay attention to the extreme I did, or just see it, right? Did you see any of – okay, so Hopkins did not cover the spring game.
Okay.
Okay, okay, that's forgivable. But I kept seeing these screen caps over the weekend of, like, his paid subscribers crushing him.
Oh, really?
Being like, dog, like, you're not even going to show – And then I saw screen caps because I don't subscribe to Scoopy Dookie. And he was like, well, I was planned vacation before the pandemic, or else I would have been there. I hired someone, and pandemic, they couldn't show up. Going forward, I'll be better. And his paid customers were killing him because he was lying. Justin Hopkins, you were lying. I don't care. The spring game ain't that big of a deal. Just say, hey, dog, I had better things to do. Shit happens. I live in Medford. Couldn't cover the game because no one could go in. Watch it on TV. But he, you know, so I just made a cheap joke about it. And he, he wasn't too happy. Which turned into the Hop Hive telling me, well, he's better than Matt Priem. And I'm like,
what?
I don't care. I'm not getting into that battle. I'm trusting Preem over Hop. I just am.
Poor old Preem just catching like stray bullets here.
Yeah,
he
was. Right?
And because Preem didn't deserve it, he had no part of it. I just left all those mentions alone where people were adding Preem. He had nothing to do with it. I'm not gonna defend him, which just drags that shit into his mentions more.
Real quick. As somebody who used to go to practices and quote unquote cover them like I did, which means putting a microphone in somebody's face, recording audio, and then going back and piggybacking off of guys like Preem, who would be the only ones to ask fucking questions of these people every single time and actually do reporting, I can say he does more reporting on them. He does as much reporting, like actual reporting on the Ducks than the newspaper guys do. And, you know, the newspaper guys do it differently, I guess, probably. But anybody can attest to this. In terms of people who go out there, he's the one who asks the most questions and does the most work for other people, essentially. And you know who I have never seen at one media availability that I ever went to? The other
Austin guy. Jopkins.
The other guy. Not once did I ever see him at anything. So I don't know. And by the way, like, here's another question I have. Like, so he lives in Medford on purpose?
Oh, come on now.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Alex Scarlatos takes fucking... Yeah. Well, that's going to be my constituent soon, so fucking take that shit back.
I just...
when I run for Douglas County.
Yeah.
Because there was that whole, you know, me versus Hopkins thing online. Someone sent me a picture of something, because Hopkins eventually was like, why didn't you at me, coward? You're a coward, you coward.
That was his point. And by the way, if you were going at him, you would have added him. Like, that wasn't the point.
So people hopped into my mentions.
It was a pithy joke.
It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't wrong, but it was pithy.
Exactly.
And people hopped into my mentions doing my work for me. Thank you very much, Twitter followers. Showing times that I had added him. And my favorite one was from the summer when he was like, been talking to real estate friends down here in Medford. Californians just won't move here anymore because of the riots in Portland. Dog, that's 400 miles away.
Like, bruh.
Bro, like, I get it. Like,
Medford might as well be a different state. Like,
yes.
It's Northern California.
Which, by the way, like, how do you cover the team living down there? Like, that has to be a... That has to be an issue, right?
You would think so. Apparently not, from what I was told.
Well,
I'm just a hater. I wish I was Justin Hopkins.
By the way, he can do his thing, whatever. If he can convince his bosses that that's not a big deal, like, good for him. Like, for real. But like, if I'm the people who hire him to cover the team, you kind of have to be around the team to cover them, right? Like, I don't know. That's basic, but whatever.
No, you again, would think like, so. Yes.
Again, whatever. I don't know the guy. I don't really care. But
I don't know. We're going to be covering the M's without going to games until Alan fucking gets us in there.
You want to call out Alan again, yeah. King?
Was it two and O M's right here? Just
yeah, the 2-0 M's.
Really good. The really good football playing M's, right? That's the, yeah. the storyline of the first week. They're really good at football. Are we waiting on Kate Brown to tell us when we can go to M's games? Is that the deal?
Yeah. So I think I heard. So they open on the 13th. So I think next Wednesday is when they open.
Okay.
And I think it only have like less than 600 people there from what they've been told. So it's basically just going to be season ticket holders.
All right. Well, I mean, you can
and then
have people up. You can do the stands in the outfield. You can do the barbecue area along the side. You can do like pockets in the regular area. So that makes sense. I'm surprised only 600 though. I feel like you could do more than that.
It just depends by county. Cause I think the Hops can have like a little over 800 right now.
Okay.
So it just depends. But I think they were saying that they're going to do something called like the reopening day.
Ooh.
So they can have when they can finally have more people in.
It's nice. That's a nice minor league gimmick there.
That's good. And by the way, like their season is so much longer now that kind of makes sense too. It's not going to seem like it is when you have that second opening day and you're just like, all right, all that stuff before, like, nobody was paying attention to it anyways.
Is it like 120 games now? Is that what they play about? 116?
Yes. And then next year it'll be even more.
That's why they're playing right now, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think next year they add like 15 games. And I just sent you guys a text that was kind of related to the Hopkins thing. I just wanted to let you guys know. I can't say it online.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Just someone was commenting on it.
I definitely appreciate you mentioning the thing that we can't talk about in the podcast.
Juicy. That's juicy. Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. That is funny, by the way.
That was good.
All right, let's get to our list and our list topic. So should we start talking about the topic first and then get to the list, or just hit it with the list first? Let's hit the list. Fuck it. I just decided.
Yeah, we'll just give it a straight intro.
Sure.
So the rumor is Terry Stotts, he's gone. He's out. He's dog meat. I think there's going to be a wrench in there because the Lakers are losing tonight. They're going to lose tomorrow in Portland. The Blazers are getting a 5 or a 6 seed. Okay, so that's kind of thwarted. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're not even going to play in the play-in game. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks.
Blazer honk.
Literally. Blazer honk. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Rips.
But
city,
the rumor is baby. That. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Sewell. Deep cut.
This motherfucker. Terry Stotts. God damn it. I fucking hate him
Damian
so much.
Damian Lillard. I love when Lillard hits threes. Mikkelum. CJ Mikkelum. So yeah. Terry Stotts is on his way out, which is along the lines of having lung cancer and just quitting smoking and not cutting out the malignant tumor that is Neil O'Shea. Since Terry Stotts is on his way out, we are doing our favorite Terry's. In sports.
Yes, sir. Favorite Terry's in sports. I like, we should probably give like a few honorable mention guys in not sports too, right?
Sure.
So here's a question before we start. Are we considering wrestling a sport? And I think you know where I'm going with this.
Are you really going to go Hulk Hogan?
Are you going to go Hulk Hogan or Terry Funk? There's only a couple of them.
There's a couple of them. Are we considering Terry or are we considering wrestling a sport?
Yes.
Okay. Then never mind.
It's sports entertainment, so it falls in line there.
Okay, I'm giving a quick shout out to Terry Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter's wife. Eugene native, went to the same high school we went to. Big shout out.
Give him the axe.
Give him the axe.
Right in the back.
R.I.P. man.
Just like that stingray did.
Dude.
Okay, that was in the chest. I'm sorry.
Dude. Yeah, get the facts right. Like, that's the problem I have with it.
The heart of the story right there.
Okay, that's enough. who's starting?
That was a pointed comment. Yeah, there, King. Damn it.
Ooh, Ski getting in on it.
Or should I say a sharp comment? They both were.
They both were.
Oh, I don't condone any of this.
Hey, I saw him get milk at a Dairy Mart on Christmas Day one, so I can make those jokes.
Did you?
My friend's in their wedding pictures.
So I did. Yeah.
Yeah. We know a guy who's in that family.
And I was like, oh, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, it's Crocodile Hunter. Couldn't say anything.
I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have frozen. Like,
yeah, I just played it cool.
God, him back then, man, he was the height of everything. Like, you didn't get much cooler than that guy.
Anyway. He had a sling on his arm.
From wrestling Crocs, probably.
Bro, yeah, absolutely.
Can't imagine why. Yeah. by the way, that could be just him and the fam around Christmas, just like, get over here, just fucking wrestling.
Wrestling presence.
Wrestling.
If he was still alive, he'd ruin the PS5 in a box.
You want your Super Nintendo? You better come and get it.
Shaking that shit up.
Right?
One of my honorable Terry. I have two honorable Terrys.
Honorable Terrys. I like it.
I have Miss Terry, which is Nick Saban's wife, because someone has to keep that robot electrically charged. And then my other Terry is Terry Francona's giant chews that he throws everywhere.
I like that.
The Terry bombs, if you will.
So it's not Terry Francona, it's the Terry bombs.
No, it's just his enormous chunks of red man. He strewns across the field every night.
Do you know what Terry Francona does there? So he takes some red man and he wraps it in bubble gum.
Yeah.
So that's why you seem like. So it's like a soup. It's like a bouncy ball in there almost. Yeah. Then his mouth carries away.
Jesus
Didn't
Christ!
Didn't he have like a brain tumor or something?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that tumor is a little close to your jaw to still be dipping, but
anything above the shoulders there, you kind of want to maybe give that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Don't get me wrong. Listen, I would still be chewing if it wasn't bad for you. I'm not innocent there.
Just wait until they fucking invent the little nanobots that just eat all the cancer away.
And oh God,
Your Coke bourbon back just.
If I could just throw in a copay to get like a leech to eat out my cancer, I would be just dribbling grizzly green down my chin right now. Oh, it's a $17 copay? Sign me up, baby. Let's do it.
Elon needs to drop that on Saturday Night Live. Oh, by the way, I got robots. By the way, I got robots that'll kill cancer.
Kodiak and unfiltered marbs all day.
It'll make up for him being the least funny human being on Earth.
Have you seen the promo they dropped
Him
and Miley today?
Jesus Not Christ. Funny. He's like the
Hi,
most.
Hi, it's me, Elon Musk. Let's make joke. Oh, my car crashes on interstate. Ha ha. Look at me. I'm wearing a bandana. Elon Musk.
Off now.
I don't know what a South African. South Africa?
Okay.
Yeah. I like apartheid.
Yeah.
In South Africa, car crash you.
Hey, blood diamonds. What's the deal with those? I don't know, but they funded my career.
South Africa, diamond blood you. I don't know.
All right. You want to stop Coney? That's my neighbor. And then the soundtrack goes, that's so Elon. See, I just wrote a skit.
How much you want
to
bet there's
he
a
was
skit
wanting
like
people
that.
To He was wanting people to pitch him ideas. You should have fucking jumped in.
Yeah, and did you see the ideas? They're like, Dogecoin. Make Dogecoin joke, Elon.
Do it,
rocket
Elon.
To the moon. go to Mars, Elon, you fraud.
So I've heard people on who used to be on the show talk about the process throughout the week, and I guess like Monday or Tuesday are the days where they get together with the hosts and they kind of just like people come to the table with random ideas, and then Tuesday or whatever is the day they actually pick the ideas. But like Monday is the day when like the host or whatever will throw their little two cents in for like skit ideas or whatever. How many times do you think he actually went in there on Monday and was like, oh, I got this great idea. Like, oh, and he just like runs down this skit and everybody's just like, yeah, that was great. Yeah. We'll consider it for sure. Yeah, we'll get our writer right on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get Kate McKinnon and she'll just like go work on that. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kate, you got this, right? Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. He's a dork.
Have you guys watched any of the new Saturday Night Live cast at all or anything?
Not in a while.
No, you guys, not Saturday. Okay.
Yeah. It's weird because I follow some of them on social media and I've heard them on podcasts and stuff like that. And like, I think they're like funny people. I just watching SNL's kind of not a thing I've done in a while. I don't know.
Yeah, I go back and watch old reruns of Mad TV instead.
Understandable.
I will say that Bowen Yang. I think it's Bowen Yang, new cast member. He's going to be a rising rocket. Just watch. Bowen Yang.
You
heard it here first, folks. Bowen Yang.
Assuming
before we get off, before we get off topic,
right?
You know, Bowen. I feel like I covered my. I know how to pronounce Yang.
Only time will tell.
I will say that Colin Jost and Michael Che, they're good update people.
Yeah, Michael Che is funny.
Yeah.
Colin Jost married to ScarJo, right?
Yeah, God, that guy just
man.
Dates out of his fucking...
Good work. Good work if you can get it.
Yeah. All right, so back to our favorite Terry's.
Yeah, what's your number three?
I have a couple honorable mention ones as well, while we're at it still. So I got Terry Crews.
Yes, sir.
Who played college football?
I mean,
he's problematic now, though.
He was on the Falcons, though, right? Wasn't he like on their roster for a year or something?
I don't know if he was actually on the roster or not.
Practice squad, maybe.
Maybe practice squad guy.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Terry Hoyts from the other guys, because he shot Jeter, so
he shot
they call
Jeter.
Him the Yankee Clipper. So it's somewhere around sports at least.
God, that almost counts.
It's almost Jeter. There. That's why it was sports. Honorable mention.
That's sports.
Sports!
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 All right, who wants to start then?
I'll start.
Well, King, go ahead.
My number three, touchdown, Terry Wilson, Oregon and Kentucky, and I think now like New Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Legend. Yeah. Terry Wilson.
Oregon legend, Terry Wilson. Remember the year after he transferred and just was killing it for Kentucky?
Yes, but go look at his stats.
Yeah, they're...
He
threw for like 1,500 yards.
Yeah,
his name was somehow Touchdown Terry.
Yep,
he had
one good game in the preseason, and everybody like
he beat Florida one year for the first time. Kentucky beat him. I mean, Terry Wilson's good. Oh, he went 4 for 8 for 47 yards.
Oh, it
maybe
was
not.
17 to 12 final.
Yeah.
With a defensive touchdown for Kentucky.
All you got to do is win one big game at Kentucky, and that's enough.
In fairness, he's the only Oregon quarterback to beat Florida in the last, forever.
Oregon legend.
Yeah, Oregon legend.
My number three is Terry Steinbach, former catcher for the A's. I think you are.
That's my number three as well. And I only got three, so that's three.
It's a solid pick. I wonder how many people actually know who Terry Steinbach is out there. I feel like
I think our audience knows who Terry Steinbach is.
Terry Steinbach is up the Sports Brewery wheelhouse.
Amazing. Yes, absolutely.
An 80s A's catcher. Yeah, he's known.
Yes. Yes.
All right,
yes.
Fair enough.
My number two is Kansas City Royals legend at third base, Terry Pendleton.
He had a good run.
Was he in KC for 2 years?
1 year. 1998.
All right.
98. He retired.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was shocked. I was looking at both of your faces. I thought you'd be like, Royals, Terry Pendleton. I was retired as a Royal. Yeah.
You have to be a Royals fan to remember Terry Pendleton as a Royal.
Absolutely. Is Terry Pendleton the last great hitter who had the double ear flaps on his batting helmet?
Hmm.
I have no idea.
Mark Bellhorn?
Mark Bellhorn.
Mark Bellhorn.
Mark.
Jed.
That
Jed
guy. Here's my thing with Mark Bellhorn. Let's just get. George Brett got like a home run disallowed in the ALCS in like 1985 for pine tar. Mark Bellhorn, his dick was covered in pine tar. His whole glove, his helmet, his bat, his whole thing. He is pine tar. And they just allowed him because they're like, oh, he's got a greasy mullet. We can't tell. Well, we can't tell.
So it makes a pine tar and shoes spit just like.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, that looks acceptable. Oh, so he spit on his bat a lot.
Was the logic that his hair was just so dirty that it covered his clothes in black?
I think so. I mean, you go pull up a Mark Bellhorn like Google image. That guy's pine tar was up to the tip of the bat.
God, and that was the thing too. It's like they didn't even bother trying to clean it. I mean, I don't know how you would clean it, but you know, maybe change their shirt or get a new hat or something like that to make it look like you weren't covering the ball and your bat in pine tar every second of the game. They didn't even give a shit. And that's why Brett was so pissed, by the way, is because fucking everybody had pine tar all over everything they used, and then he gets fucking kicked out for it.
Racism right there.
Pine tar. Gotta remember back in the day when motherfuckers used pine tar and corked bats. Shit, those were the
baseball
days.
Was fun.
on AstroTurf.
America's pastime, baby.
Ooh. The roaring 80s. God
and now
damn.
No one cares because everyone's clean and they're throwing 102 miles an hour. And like, ah, whatever, we're over it. We saw Mark McGwire. We don't care about you clean humans.
Yep.
Speaking of tainted baseball players, you see who was in town in Eugene here the other day?
Pete Rose. No way.
It was Pete Rose, yeah.
Why?
Someone with connections called him and said, hey, come talk to the Duck baseball players.
Oh.
So, about what?
I feel like that's an ethical decision. If I'm a coach, I'm like, nah, we're good.
Well, considering I think another player that they brought in to talk to the players when George Horton was there was Roger Clemens. So,
oh, I was going to say John Rocker.
This is good bow hunting country, so it makes sense.
It is. Yeah. The complexion of the team, especially for Horton, was might have matched Rocker's values. We'll say.
Pete Rose. Honestly, he hasn't had a coherent thought in like 40 years. Like, what is happening?
He was pretty good, in fairness, for like the 2 years. Maybe it was just a year. He was on the Fox coverage.
Touché.
Because he was just like, I'm an old guy. I'm just going to say whatever I want.
He was Barkley of baseball. He just said whatever he wanted.
Yeah. And then they found out. They were like, oh, you slept with 14-year-olds.
Kind of a scumbag. Yeah.
We can overlook that gambling stuff.
Yeah.
Broadcast team was solid. That's when A-Rod was in his prime for like announcing, too.
Yeah.
That was good.
And they just... Yeah, somehow Frank Thomas has survived it all. He stands there.
Yeah, out of all of them.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. Have you heard of Nugenix? Do you like wood? Try Nugenix. That's a grand slam.
Talk about a home run.
Talk about a home run.
Star of Mr. Baseball, Frank Thomas.
Former Oakland A's legend.
Yeah, A's legend, Frank Thomas.
Him and Mike Piazza. Nomar.
Nomar, yeah. Nomar's the guy.
God, the A's really sick. Good God.
Jesus.
That fucking money ball right
and
there.
Manny yeah. Ramirez. God, the A's.
What was happening? What was happening?
That's good. That's funny.
All right, my number
Albert
two.
Pujols is going to end up as an Oakland A.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, that's his final form. He's an Oakland A. Retire in front of 4,000 people a night.
You know, I was thinking earlier, like how similar, because I'm a fan of both the Blazers and the A's, like how similar they are. How, like, the Blazers are always the five seed, always lose. And, like, I mean, they made it to the Western Conference Finals, but, you know, generally lose in the first round to, like, a really good team or an average team. The A's are the same. The A's, like, make the wild card somehow. They always have, like, two good players, and then they lose to a legit team that likes to actually spend money. It's the
same. Both fan bases are pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
They pretty are, yeah. The A's fan base is awesome.
Yeah, no, totally.
It is.
The A's fan base understands what the team is. Like, and they make no bones about it. They're just like, whatever, we'll take it.
They understand it better than the Blazers fan base does, because we have our bones with that. But there's a good amount of Blazers fans that get it.
Yeah.
And they're kind of on the same wavelength.
Was Coco Crisp the outfielder for the A's when they would do like the Weekend at Bernie dance in like right uniform?
Yes.
Was he for the A's? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, his look was so good with the A's. Like,
with the afro,
he really let the afro out with the A's. Yeah. Like, it was so good, man. Coco, legit. Okay, should we get to the list?
Yes.
It's like the longest list thing we've done. My number two is Terry Glenn. Was that your number two as well?
No, that was my number one, was Terry Glenn.
Okay, Terry Glenn, fantastic. So he went to Ohio. He went to the Ohio State, right? Didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he was Ohio State, then
Patriots.
The Patriots, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terry Glenn was great.
He was catching balls from Drew Bledsoe.
Catching balls from Drew Bledsoe, returning kicks. Yeah. Fun. That's my two.
That's my one. So you're up, King. I'm not going to get a see if counterfeits my last one too.
My number one, Sports Terry. Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Nice. There you go. It's got to come through at some point. Wait, wasn't Terry Tate Terry Crews?
No.
No. Okay. What commercial? Terry Crews was in the
Old Spice.
Old Spice.
No, he wasn't the Old Spice guy, was he?
Yeah,
he has been.
He was the original Old Spice.
Old Spice guy. I was gonna say, like, the Old Spice guy was, he went to like Arizona State.
ASU. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the one that really took off on. Yeah,
that's right. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Terry Crews, mostly known for flexing his boobs.
And I feel like if you watch some of his movies, they really portray him to be maybe gay.
Ooh.
What is it? After Next? There's another one, but also Friday After Next.
Oh, yeah.
He makes them hug him, and then he holds his dick afterwards and bites his lip.
That's right.
In his boxers as he's lifting out there.
Friday After Next. When was the last time you watched that movie?
Sunday.
Is Cat Williams in that, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. Cat Williams was the shit back then. Remember his like stand-up sets where like 5 minutes in, he's just the sweatiest human being in the history.
Always. Well, he's wearing those heavy pimp suits. Know, he's got that. He's got hair longer than this. Just sitting there all perfect.
He's got the silkiest hair I've ever seen, too.
He does have some nice hair.
He's got that Hulk Hogan silkiness to his hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
His lettuce profile was very high. All right. My number one is Jason Terry. That counts, right?
Boy.
It counts.
Jason Terry? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Terry is my number one. I just found out he's I think he's like sixth all time in 3-pointers in NBA history.
So he's another guy. He played into his 40s, I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah. I saw Dame was like ninth or something. And while I was looking at that list, Jason Terry. And he was the one who used to throw up like Crip and stuff when he'd make a 3-pointer, right? He'd throw up like the Crip sign.
Or he did the airplane. He did the jet.
He did the jet.
He did the jet. Yep. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, I don't remember Jason Terry throwing up gang signs as he makes
Terry three. Cummings.
Terry Cummings, maybe.
Terry Baker.
Terry Baker.
I'm going to look this up while you talk about your one.
Well, it's my number.
Your number two.
My number two. It's just a throw in. Just UP coach, great Terry Porter.
Yeah. Boo. Yeah. Boo. Get out of here. You ran the UP program into the ground, Terry Porter, you bum.
Yeah, by the way, I was totally right. Jason Terry would throw up gang signs after he'd make threes. And there's a clip of him saying he is a real Crip in a game.
Interesting, because he seems like the least intimidating person I would go up against that would be in a gang.
Yep. Well, there's always
don't shoot me, Jet. No, I'm just saying.
There's always the really like skinny, small guy who talks the most shit, but then he's got the other guys who don't talk and do the other stuff. It's a good list, guys.
It was a good list, even though I came up with it 2 minutes before we jumped on. So
it was quality. A good list. Well, King wanted to do this list where it was like the top 100 sitcoms of all time, and then we were supposed to pick our top three sitcoms and then talk. We were going to pick the top three ones that
our biggest like, grievances,
our biggest grievances
with it. Yeah, but the problem with that is we'd have to like people would have to know the 100 sitcoms on the list, and.
Well, they would know. Well, no, you just say.
Oh, I know our audience. I'm looking at you, Ducks Malone. You've already read the Rolling Stone article. I know it. I'm looking at you, Jeter Fistbum. You've already read the list.
Well, I wrote it all out.
I'm looking at you, WCP 541. You've already read the list.
I went in deep on it.
So Rolling Stone.
How deep?
I got like 10 shows that I thought were either. Should have been lower or should be higher.
I thought you were going to say so deep you put the audience to sleep.
Thank you. Honestly, that's the only response to that. God damn it. So deep, put her ass to sleep. God damn it. Do your job.
I'm too riled up about this that we didn't get to do the
Let's hear it. Let's hear your grievances.
All right, I'll go down my list, starting from my the top rate, the lowest rated one. Which was a show, Letterkenny.
It was not on there?
It was number 83, okay. But it should be way higher on the list because it's one of the better comedies in the last, 15 years, give or take. The next I got, The Good Place was ranked number 46, and that show sucked. That show sucks. It should not be in the top 100. Then we go down to Brockmire was 42. Ooh. How that's not in the top 10, I don't know.
Boy, that rating really stuck it in the ass, like my wife did when I walked in on her with my neighbor holding a sprinkler and a firecracker.
So, by the way, real quick, for the few of you who have not seen this list, it's Rolling Stone. They made the top 100 sitcoms.
It ranked their top 100 sitcoms. Yeah,
and the number one was The Simpsons.
Yes, I got a problem with that.
I understand the cultural importance of The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've watched a live Simpsons episode on a Sunday since before the Twin Towers. Like they were still standing. I feel like that's a legacy thing.
15 plus years.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
See, the only way I could see you still watching it would be like if your kids watched it and you'd watch with them.
I don't think kids care about it.
No.
They don't.
Kids don't give a shit about The Simpsons. Kids are watching YouTube, guys.
Like, think about it. Like,
kids don't watch TV.
You think kids are really gonna be like, wow, that yellow guy who says "eat my shorts," boy, he's edgy. No, they're watching They're watching Jake Paul steal Floyd Mayweather's hat. Like, that's what they're doing.
They're watching Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Morty.
All right. Which, I got a couple more here.
By the way, real quick, just let's all not get suckered in by that bullshit. Can we? Can we act like adults and not get suckered in by that Jake Paul Mayweather bullshit?
Nope. I think it's Logan. Is it Logan Paul's actually fighting him, though? It's not Jake.
Are we sure about that?
I'm dead positive.
Okay.
I thought it was Jake. I thought it was Jake. All. I'm pretty sure it's Logan who's actually fighting him.
Oh, that is 100% theater they pulled with that. But, all right. Next on the list, Always Sunny was number 29. That's a joke. Fleabag was number 21. I think it's the worst show ever made, and my girlfriend somehow hated it more than I did.
I tried to watch. I made a serious effort to watch Fleabag, and you know it. I hate British stuff. I just think it's bad. And I was like, wow, how many times can you force in a vagina joke?
It's
like, I'm not a prude by any stretch. Like Step Brothers, forming a ball and climbing up to the vagina. I'll still laugh. Holy shit, Fleabag sucks. I could not stand it. I hate British people. I'm just going to say it. I hate British people. The Beatles, they suck too.
Fuck the Queen.
I'm glad that old guy died.
I'm with you on the Beatles, but let's not talk about that too much.
Well then, all right. Next one is the American version of British people. Frasier was number 13.
Talking to salad and scrambled eggs.
First sitcom. A sitcom you're supposed to laugh at, correct? It's supposed to be funny?
Generally,
well,
yeah.
Well, with Niles, look outside. It's raining. Like my emotions.
Well, on that note, they got MASH at number 6. Like, has anybody actually watched MASH?
We're a little out of that.
It's not
we're out of the Ainge Rage, but like, I watched Mary Tyler Moore. I watched Dick Van Dyke. I watched Lucy. Like,
those were on Nick at Night.
You know why? You know why? Because they were actually good TV.
Good? Oh, boy.
Unlike MASH. Give me a break with MASH.
Right.
Enough already. Our fucking parents telling us about how great MASH is. Fuck out of here.
All right. I got three more here.
Oh, jeez.
Curb was number 12. How that's not, you know, top 5 at least.
I was wondering where you're going with that. I don't really like Curb that much.
Oh, God.
Then wow. Seinfeld.
Oh, you like Fleabag, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
I've never seen Fleabag.
Seinfeld was 3. I would have put that ahead of Simpsons as 1. And then the biggest omission in the history of any kind of dumb top 100, top list of anything, somehow Married with Children was not in the top 100.
Wow.
I would put that in the top 5, let alone not even making the top 100.
Boy.
Go back and rewatch.
Misogyny over here. It's a different time, bro.
have you seen my Twitter picture?
Yes, I have. And yes, I cringe every time. I'm like, oh God, this guy, he hates women. And minorities.
By the way, my favorite part of that is
go back and
rewatch as if there's a way to go back and rewatch.
So we got to get out of here, right?
Go back in time. Watch.
We do. We got one minute.
We got to leave. We're out of here. I will just add one thing. I'm glad it's 100, but it should not even be in the 100. Schitt's Creek, it's terrible. It's not funny. It's just a show about Eugene Levy's son and this girl, and they become GIFs, and I hate it, and that's the only reason people like it, is because they could show GIFs of this girl going like this, and the son going, rah, rah, rah. It's a terrible show, dumb people like it, it's GIF, not GIF, Schitt's Creek, sucks shit, and go drown in a river if you like that show, and I'm out.